And welcome to Stirring the Pot. I'm Linda Nygaard, and I'll be your host for the next 30 minutes. I hope you can pull up a chair and join us as we talk about all things food. Today's episode is going to be about tea, and I hope that you'll come and have tea with us. We're sitting here in the radio station with pots of tea, and we have biscuits, and we have all kinds of things. So my guests today are two tea aficionados who might disagree on some things. We have, hailing from England, we have Miss Kate O'Kane.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, welcome. Hello. And we have Amy Broomhall from Australia.
Hello. How are you, Amy?
I'm well. Thank you. I'm so glad you're here. I'm eager to talk to both of you about tea. We have, I wish that the audience could see what we have set up here, but we can clink some teacups and we have biscuits and some other little surprises for later, but we're having a tea party while we talk. First of all, though, I want to make a couple of announcements. I'd like to say thank you to those of you who have emailed me and offered ideas and comments, suggestions. Keep those emails coming. I'd love to hear from you. You can reach me at stirringthepot@voiceofvashon.org. Secondly, Kate and Amy have advised me that I should issue a trigger warning to my Irish, English, and Australian friends because someone is bound to say something controversial about the national pastime of drinking tea. So consider yourselves warned. Oh, and Bonnie Moss, a shout out to you. These are not fake accents in case someone asks you. Okay, let's get to the business of afternoon tea. I know both of you have different tastes in tea, and I'd like to start with that. Amy, tell me about which tea you prefer.
You know, in the United States, I'm not super fussy about my tea. So when I live in the US, I drink PG Tips.
Do you?
Because it's the most...
It's good.
Yeah, it's good. And it's the closest to, it's the closest to what I grew up having. My mum and dad are very fussy about their tea. So when they come to visit me, they have to bring their own tea with them.
Oh.
And then I get, you know, then I'm all like, oh, that's really good. And I get really excited about it.
Yeah.
And then they leave again. I'm like, oh, just go back to PG Tips because I can't be bothered.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I learned that Australians drink 9.5 cups of tea per week each. Does that sound right to you?
That does sound rather low, actually.
Does it?
I think they're
like
probably
2 cups a day.
Yeah. They're probably taking into account the younger generation probably doesn't
maybe
drink as much.
Well, yeah. I did notice on the graph that most of the tea is drunk by older people.
Yes. I'd say my nana's generation probably drank 4 or 5 cups a day.
Yeah. And some tea can be grown in Australia.
I didn't know that.
Yes, there's some tea grown in Australia, see?
Wow.
And then for the Brits, we have...
As tea drinkers.
You tea drinkers. Mm. What's your favorite kind of tea?
So I said before, I'm not a normal tea drinker. I am very fussy. I'm a grey girl. So it's either an Earl Grey with some caffeine or a Lady Grey when I don't want caffeine. And Lady Grey, sadly, can only be bought in the UK loose. So, and I like a nice loose leaf
so tea. Does somebody send that to you?
So it's, they can do, but it's very expensive. But I will give a big shout out to the guys at Mingle Mint because they have a beautiful Girl Grey there.
Oh.
I guess there were trademark issues with Lady Grey.
Girl Grey.
There's a Girl Grey. There's a few others. There's a Grey Duchess as well up in Canada. And their Girl Grey does me very proudly.
And so, that just means decaf.
It's not decaf.
It's still a different tea.
Got a tea. It's basically it's got more lavender in it and more citrus in it than an Earl Grey.
Fancy
but I have
tea.
To have it without milk and without sugar, just very very simply. Yeah. And I don't like any of these builders teas. I'm not British in that way. I don't drink PG Tips or Tetley's unless I'm forced to.
Well, I'm an Aussie, so obviously we're a little bit lower class than all of you.
You're a little more crude.
There we go. Yeah. She said
I'll
it,
have
not
whatever's
me.
Going.
Well, you know, the tea thing is a really big deal in a lot of countries. And I read an interesting thing that I want to share with you because I know that you'll enjoy it. And it was written by C.E. Murphy a long time ago. I don't have a date on it, but he was an English writer. And, oh no, it's a woman, sorry. She's a romance writer. She says, in Ireland, you go to someone's house and she asks you if you want a cup of tea. You say, no, thank you. You're really just fine. She asks if you're sure. You say, of course you're sure. Really? You don't need a thing. Except they pronounce it ting. You don't need a ting. Well, she says then, I was going to get myself some anyway, so it would be no trouble. Ah, you say, well, If you're going to get yourself some, I wouldn't mind a spot of tea at that. So, long as it's no trouble and I can give you a hand in the kitchen, then you go through the whole thing all over again until you both end up in the kitchen drinking tea and chatting. In America, someone asks you if you want a cup of tea. You say no. And then you don't get any damn tea.
That's so true.
That is my
that
childhood.
That is so true.
That's my entire, that's every time I go home to Wigan, that is what happens. You go around. I mean, we were talking about this the other day as well, the drop-ins.
Oh, yeah.
People just
drop in.
A drop-in for a cup of tea.
Right.
And, you know, here, if you say you don't want something, you're like, okay, and you stand on the doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
In Wigan, you basically would be cast out of the town if you left someone standing on the doorstep and didn't invite them in for a cup of tea. You just...
Exactly. Yeah. And usually people... Unless they're really busy and have somewhere to go, they would say, oh, yeah, okay, I'll have a cuppa.
Absolutely.
They'd be like, oh, I got right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you can't get rid of them afterwards.
Next thing you know, you're having gin and tonic.
Exactly. Well, the day's gone.
Yeah, well.
That was especially for my mother because that was her birthday last Friday. That's exactly
that
what happened.
Too, yeah. Hmm. Yeah. So what are we having with tea? What's your, you know.
Well, I'm just going to help myself to some more tea. Well, I'll try and do a sound effect, but I don't think
it's going
to.
Let's see if you can hear. Oh, don't let the
and then she broke the teapot.
Comedy hour.
You know, I invited people to come and join us at the studio if they're listening live. Come on down. Ooh. There's plenty of tea.
I'm going to stop doing that because I might say something rude that's one of those words you're not supposed to say on air.
Don't want the radio station shut down.
Indeed.
That'll be me that says that, by the way.
Well.
What are we eating? Is that the question you asked 5 minutes
ago? Yeah, that was the question.
Ago.
I forgot about it. Yeah.
Well, Amy, why don't you say what you brought?
Well, I brought a tea cake, and it's a cinnamon tea cake.
It's beautiful.
And it's literally the first cake I ever learned to make. I probably learned to bake it when I was about 5. And it takes 20 minutes to whip up. And it doesn't take that long to cook either.
Mm.
And I remember, I have very vivid memories of my mum and my nana. Someone would call up and say, oh, I'll pop around for a cuppa in half an hour. And they'd be like, oh, well, I'll just whip up a tea cake. And you do. You literally just whip up a tea cake. It's like a very soft vanilla sponge cake with a tiny little bit of cinnamon and sugar sprinkled on top. And it's kind of weird that there's cinnamon on it because Australians don't eat cinnamon very much. Like America is... They're like
cinnamon
addicts.
Everything.
Here.
I know.
Yeah.
And I really don't like cinnamon, and I've already tasted that cake. It's delicious.
It's delicious.
It's so light.
It's very,
so fluffy.
It's very subtle
it's
cinnamon. Yeah. It's not harsh.
And
yeah.
So you're going to share that recipe with us, right?
I just got it on the internet because
my
nana's recipe, but she didn't actually say how much butter. She just said put butter in.
Do they say a knob of butter?
And I was like,
she just thought telepathy.
I was like,
Amy will know this in 3 generations.
I'm not quite sure how much she meant.
Yeah.
So I looked it up and it was on taste.com.au.
Okay. Well, it's
the
a beautiful
Australian
cake.
Tea cake.
Does it have
version.
A lot of butter in it?
No, I don't know. It has like 2/3 of a stick.
It's really pretty.
Yeah,
I can't
it's
wait
just
to
very
taste it.
Very simple, very simple.
But that's what you need when you're having tea.
Yeah.
And what about you, Miss Kate?
Well,
what did you bring for us?
I bought tea cakes as well, but mine are different. Mine are British tea cakes, and
they're so beautiful.
They the way I also felt as though I was Mary Poppins when I walked in. I have a toaster in my bag. Don't worry, I'm not going to short the studio. And I had a big thing of hot water and some butter and a bread knife. And essentially, these are toasted tea cakes. It's a very simple bread bun recipe. You're adding in currants and sultanas and any other kind of dried fruit you may like. And then, you know, you just let it rise for a little bit and then you pop them in the oven. And they actually, I've never made these before, Linda. I made them especially for
goodness.
You.
Oh, my goodness. Thank
they're
you.
Very good.
They're beautiful.
And I'm going to be making them again because they're really
well,
easy
you know
and really tasty. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
do you know what would be good? It'd be a little glaze on there.
It's got an egg glaze on it, but I discovered
but
it
like
didn't.
A sweet,
like a sweet
icing.
Like a lemon glaze or something
that'd
like
be
that.
Nice.
Oh, we could make them Vachon tea cakes.
Oh, we could. We could.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a market for that.
Probably.
For those of you who don't know, Amy is a baker, a good, wonderful baker, and she bakes wonderful cakes that are just beautiful. And this particular cake that she made is, you know, it's a single layer, and it's made in a round cake pan, so it's a round tea cake, and she calls it a tea cake. And then what Kate brought is like a little bun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called a tea cake.
Mm. Isn't that interesting that they're both called that? Because we'd call that a bun. I don't know what you Brits are going on about. That's not a cake.
I'll just remind you it's called English, Amy. It's called English. The language is called English. That's all I'm going to say.
No, wait a minute. There's
we're more evolved.
There's something called the bun loaf.
Yes. Well,
in Australia.
I think the Australian bun loaf came from Kate's tea cake. I had to do special air quotes for that.
We're on radio, Amy. It doesn't work here.
Because in Australia, a bun loaf you don't buy a tea cake at the bakery, really, but you do buy a bun loaf. And in my small town, which is the size of Vashon, there are 3 or 4 bakeries.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go round to someone's house, you take something, usually, and you would take a bun loaf, and it's just like Kate's tea cakes, but it's one big loaf. And sometimes it has apple in it, and sometimes it has almonds on it. And it always has like an icing on the top, like a thin glaze kind of icing. And you always slather it with butter. You don't toast it usually, but you can if you want. And it's a little bit more doughy than yours.
And it's so interesting because in the UK we have tea loaf, which looks more like your tea cake that you brought.
Oh, but we've gotten all confused.
Yeah, we've got fruit in it as well.
And sometimes you can
have
apple in this.
Basically, what you're doing is stealing each other's ideas and naming them differently.
Yeah, I think we're the same.
I think Australia stole all the ideas, actually.
You know, well, there's some reason. I think there's a story about how the people got to Australia. Wasn't it something to do with stealing in the first place?
That was something about stealing. Yeah, I do remember. And speaking of the first people that got to Australia, you know, tea came from Britain on the first fleet when it came to Australia. Captain Cook.
You're welcome.
And and he noticed when he met the Aboriginal people that they were drinking something that looked like tea. And so he said, oh, they already drink tea here, but it wasn't real tea. So he then introduced the Aboriginals to what he called real tea. But they still call the drink that the Aboriginals drink tea, but it's spelled T-I.
That's really interesting. Is that all over?
See, I don't know
the way
that.
I don't know any of these facts. Whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't know
that. I mean, the whole irony, though, is that tea didn't really come from the British, did it?
It came from India and China and Asia.
And so it's been on an amazing journey around the world.
Well, the English have been really good about spreading tea around the world. It's a nice way to put it.
And fighting over it. And destroying
all the other
cultures
things that
over
spread.
It.
Yes.
Well, you know, do you know about the pirate Black Bart? You know, have you heard of Black Bart?
Yes.
Yeah, of course you have. Well, he was big into tea. He kidnapped tea. And let me see, what does this say here? He liked a bit of dandy, and his crew would unlikely judge him for the way that he made tea.
Oh.
Because he wasn't a tea connoisseur by any stretch, but he wanted tea. So he captured ships that he knew were shipping tea.
Oh.
Sometimes as many as 400 ships in a fleet.
Wow.
Well, so he had a bit of an addiction.
I would say, yeah, I would say.
He liked his tea.
But then, you know, from pirates to prisoners, I just learned another thing, that in Australia, an ombudsman went to court on behalf of a prisoner to say that he was deprived of his tea in the afternoon.
Oh.
And now the prisoners can have tea in the afternoon.
Well.
Because
he's only right.
They should be treated humanely, and not to have tea in the afternoon was deemed inhumane.
Well, I know quite a few people, if they don't have tea in the morning, are not human anyway.
So at all.
They need it. Just
you don't,
to get
you don't
want to
hang out with my mum if she hasn't had a cup of tea.
My friend
tea,
Angela.
But,
no, I mean,
yeah.
There should be national laws, I think, for that kind of behaviour. So.
May I just state for the record that my family were first settlers and not convicts. Thank you.
Oh, they were. And that's an important note. Was your family over on the First Fleet?
I don't know if they came on the First Fleet, but they were first settlers in South Australia.
Wow.
I could tell that about Amy.
Okay.
Could you tell? I could tell.
Yeah. Native. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's talk about the baking for a minute. Because I know that there are differences in the way that Australia bakes and the way that England bakes and the way that America bakes. So, Amy, can you address some of those issues that you might, or some of the things that are different? You know, we talked about flour and sugar.
Yes. Yeah. So when I moved here, so I taught myself to bake and I started baking when I was probably around 5, and I baked with my nana and I baked with my mum, and neither of them really enjoyed baking very much, but you just did it. Like it wasn't, you just baked whether you wanted to or not. And I got into making a lot of cakes and decorating cakes. And there's a very famous, and I forgot to bring it, but there's a very famous Australian cookbook of birthday cakes. And any Aussies out there will tell you they know it, the Women's Weekly birthday cake cookbook. And it has like 100 different theme cakes in it. And I spent many hours obsessing over those. And when I moved to the US, I started to get into baking because I had a kitchen again. And I brought some of my recipe books from Australia. And I was very excited. And I start making things, I'm like, this isn't right. This tastes terrible. And I was very disheartened, and I thought, well, I'll try a couple American recipes, and those worked great. And once I started researching, the ingredients are actually a bit different, and so are the measurements. So a cup in Australia is not the same as a cup here.
Yeah.
and flour is very different.
Tell me about how the flour is different, because I think most of us know that weights and measures are the way to bake, really. For me,
yes,
it is.
Yes, for sure.
So a cup is a cup is a cup. I don't care because I don't use it. But how is the flour different?
I don't know the technical aspects
right.
of it. I know that in Australia we have plain flour and we have self-rising flour.
Okay, we have that too.
And
but it's called all-purpose.
But
here,
it's called all-purpose, uh-huh. not plain. And self-rising flour, I think, has a different level of rising here in the US than it okay. does back mm-hmm. in Australia.
Is the texture different if you feel it with your fingers? Or is it does well, it feel the same?
I couldn't tell you if the texture was different. Mm. But it just seems, everything seems mm-hmm. different.
It's different. Well, it's terroir,
it seems
too,
chalkier
you know?
To me, actually.
A little, yeah, like clumpier yeah, or something.
Exactly.
And then the sugar's different because we have caster sugar, which is ostensibly white sugar, but yeah. it's a bit finer.
It's finer.
It's right. more
I mean,
like
I found
sugar.
Using the baker's sugar is actually the closest I can get to
is it?
To yeah. caster sugar mm-hmm. Because the granulated sugar is the sugar you put in your tea. The caster sugar is always what you use for baking because it is thinner and it goes much better into the cake mixture.
Yeah, it absorbs
or the
more
bread
quickly.
Mixture.
Yeah.
The other thing I find really strange and I had to do it is just that measurement thing, because even to the extent of using Celsius to Fahrenheit
yeah, cook times.
Yeah, exactly. And then just, you know, nothing's quite exact. So mm-hmm. when I was putting the tea cake recipe together for mm-hmm. you, it was put it in at 200 degrees C.
Okay.
Which is 392 degrees Fahrenheit.
It's very specific. Yeah.
So I mm-hmm. moved it up to 400 because that's what BBC Good Food told
that's
me
bold.
To do. But
that's
yeah,
bold.
But I just don't want any problems if people come back with burnt tea cakes so they yeah. had it at 400 versus 392.
Right. Mm. And so you did 400 and it worked.
I did somewhere between
somewhere in there.
75 and 400 because my cook is not that good. So
392.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think unless you're making... You know, if you need a safe recipe, I would try and find the US version of it.
Okay.
Rather
yeah.
than use a British or Australian. Because, I mean, you can type in, you can see on a website.
And you can change.
If it's an American recipe
right.
or not. Right. You know, and Martha Stewart's probably baked everything known to man. You go to her and let her figure it all out. Mm.
You know, her recipes are always pretty right on.
Yeah, they're well tested.
And another well tested cake site for me is Southern Living.
Mm. Oh, I've never tried that site.
Yeah, they're... well, the Southerners are known for their cakes.
Yeah, that's
and they
true. They
have
do have some fun
so
ones.
Many wonderful recipes. And Southern Living's recipes are they've always worked for me.
Oh, that's
and they're
good
very
to know.
Good.
Good to know.
Yeah, yeah. So I heard you talk a little bit about the differences, and that there's a little bit of controversy there as well mm-hmm. in what bakes which way and how that works for people. But I found a little quote about a controversy around tea itself. And it is written in 1807 by Sidney Smith, who was a writer back then. And he said, quote, "A dreadful controversy has broken out in Bath, whether tea is most effectually sweetened by lump or pounded sugar. And the worst passions of the human mind are called into action by the pulverists and the lumpists."
Do you want a lump or pound?
Exactly. I mean, that's the English Civil War there, basically,
right.
over tea.
Yeah.
Are you a pounder mm-hmm. or a lumper? Yeah. I mean, it could be where the North-South divide came from as well, because I don't think there's many lumps up in the North. I think we're
really?
Much more spoonfuls of
a
sugar.
Spoonful.
Yeah.
yeah.
A spoonful of sugar.
Oh, imagine.
Helps the medicine.
It does. I've heard that before somewhere. I wonder where that is.
Yeah. I won't sing for you.
So let's talk also about other things that accompany our tea. I think... You know, there are so many different kinds of tea. There's your regular old, you call it builder's tea. I just
builder's
learned
tea,
about
yeah.
that today.
We just call it black tea.
And you call it black tea. So yeah. that's just regular tea. We're having tea
just,
this
just,
afternoon.
That's just
yeah.
tea.
Yeah.
Like there is,
that's your PG tips.
Yeah, that's yeah. You just say tea. And then if you're having something else, you would say, oh, I'm having herbal tea. Or I'm having,
yeah,
do you know
yeah.
what I mean? But tea
but
is
But herbal
just
tea
just
is not
tea.
Really tea.
No, no, yeah. it's not. It's a whole separate thing.
Right.
So you
right.
don't confuse it with tea.
It's right. it's black tea. It's whatever
it's
your black tea,
black tea
is. Mm-hmm. So it could be your Yorkshire Gold. It could
yeah.
be your PG Tips.
It
yeah.
could be Lipton's, really.
If it has
no.
to be.
Well, I'm just saying.
Somebody said, was it you said that someone told them they can taste the paper?
My mum, she can taste the paper in a bag. She'll yeah. say, oh, did you make that with a bag? I can taste the paper.
Isn't that something?
No.
Is this where I tell you the awful thing that I did in my past life?
What?
Where I took Lipton tea to China and
oh,
sold
dear.
It to the Chinese.
Oh, that's, dear.
I really
should
take myself. I know,
that.
I know. I mean, not that the Chinese need any help with knowing how enjoyable tea is, but not only did I try and do it in tea bags, you know, they've been having it loose for years, then I tried to sell them milk tea, which is this awful powdered tea with milk powder in it. I couldn't even drink it myself.
Okay. Was it a Lipton product?
It was a Lipton product in Asia, yeah.
That is terrible.
Sorry, Unilever, this is not the best advertisement for your milk tea, but...
But I bet it's good. Pretty nasty.
It was.
Mm. Yeah, I bet. So... Beyond the things that you baked, I see you brought something else with you that's going to make people jealous when they hear about this.
I brought some Tim Tams. We'll do the ASMR. Okay. And in Australia, if you don't, like, not everyone makes a tea cake.
Right.
Everyone's
a baker.
And so you always have on hand... You call them some bickies, and Tim Tam's a chalky bicky.
Mm-hmm. A chalky bicky.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like a penguin. I just said that, and I thought, that sounds totally normal. And then she responded, and I'm like, wow, that didn't sound normal.
No, I was with you. A good chalky bicky.
Good chalky bicky.
That's exactly
so. Perfect. And you'll have a bicky, and you have like a bicky tin. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember vividly my nana's bicky tin and where it was and how it smelled, and each time I'd think, oh, what one's, you know, maybe she has Monte Carlo or butternuts or iced vovos or Tim Tams. And if she had Tim Tams, it was pretty special because she didn't normally have the chocolate covered
bickies. We used to have chocolate fingers and penguins.
Yes, chocolate fingers.
And caramel wafers. Oh, they were
we
good.
Don't
you
have
can get those.
Those
here, actually.
They're called what?
Tunnock's caramel wafers. Oh, so good.
What are they like?
They're just wafer with chocolate and a little bit of fondant and then wrapped in more chocolate.
Oh my God.
I will get some for you, Amy. You will like them.
I love it.
Do you often celebrate what they call high tea, or is that kind of an American thing?
I think it's kind of snotty.
Is it a snotty thing?
Yeah, I mean, you have it as like a special treat. So, I mean, I've had it quite a few times.
Yeah, I have too.
I've done it mainly for American friends. So I've made scones and we've had tea, and I've bought some extortionately expensive clotted cream.
Oh my gosh.
So jam, scones and clotted cream.
Yes.
And if you're having it properly, you might have like some little cucumber sandwiches with it or a little pie or something like that.
Or even a ham sammy.
Or a ham sammy. Yeah, exactly. So you do it, and so there's afternoon tea where you're having tea if you're being fancy, and in my case preferably might have a glass of champagne with it as well.
And champagne.
Okay. It's beautiful.
Love that.
But you can also have high tea, which is not afternoon tea, it's a little bit later. And you may then be having a little bit more, sort of like maybe a little quiche or something with it as well.
A vol-au-vent,
indeed.
Oh, nice.
To get all European. Got some music.
Hello.
The word vol-au-vent made that.
It needs its own theme tune.
That's a 50-cent word.
It really is.
So afternoon tea, you know, it is fancier, but just if you go down into Cornwall or Devon, you have a Devon tea or a Cornish tea.
Yeah,
we still have those in Australia. Yeah. Devonshire tea,
exactly. And so that's not fancy. That's just sitting out in the garden with
a cup of tea. And
you
a
generally
scone.
Have
some
a scone.
Scones.
With
usually
it.
Have scones. Yeah.
Well, you know, afternoon tea is a tradition. Has been a tradition for a long time. And in England, it was Queen Catherine who
I thought it was me, yes.
Oh, was it? Well, you brought it to America, okay? I'll give you that. But really, it wasn't until the mid-19th century that the concept of afternoon tea appeared. And that is because in England, Anna, the 7th Duchess of Bedford, in the year 1840, got really hungry between lunch and dinner.
Oh,
and so she was a duchess, and she just thought she should have some tea and some crumpets or whatever.
Oh, well, thank you, Anne.
In the afternoon.
And you can get those here. I've seen them in Thriftway.
They are in Thriftway.
They're not
as good.
No, well, no, they're not, but they're crumpets.
But they are crumpets.
And so anyway, she asked for a tray of tea and bread and butter and a cake be brought to her room in the late afternoon, and then she would have tea. And then it became such a habit for her that she started inviting friends to come in and have
other
tea.
Other people should join her.
And so that's where it started.
And everyone's like, well, Catherine's doing it.
Exactly.
Well, Catherine's doing it, so we better do it.
So this is the thing.
Because it was quite a fashionable social event at that time. And now it's just sort of become a way of life.
Probably wear a tea dress.
Oh, tea dress.
Oh, yeah. Mm. I Let's talk about a proper cup of tea and how you brew it. Do you have a certain way? You know, some people say the water has to be a certain temperature. It has to brew for the
minute. I'm going to be hopeless at this conversation. She's asked me this question before.
I did.
I had to explain.
And you're the tea snob. You should be knowing this.
I mean, I can tell you what my mother would tell me.
I can tell you what Australians do.
Yeah. I mean, you have to warm the pot, first of all.
You do have to warm the pot. Yes.
In my case, that's usually swilling some hot water you've just boiled around the pot to make sure it's warmed. I love the fact that Linda has her tea cozy over the teapot here.
She does.
Can't see. Yes. It's a beautiful, I'd say it probably needs, it's got a bit of tea on it.
I've had it for 25 years.
No, it's got a lot of tea on it then.
It's had
we'll
a
be
life.
Less polite. It's had
and
a
it
life.
Got burned.
It's got it's history. Got and it's yeah. been burnt. Mm-hmm. But you have your tea cozy to keep your teapot warm. And then you put in as many tea bags as there are people and one for the pot.
Yes. And one for the pot.
Yeah.
Really?
Or you can have loose. You can put your loose tea.
Or your loose
tea.
Yeah. And then and that would be spoonfuls then of tea, wouldn't it? Be
yeah, one, I think so. Yeah.
One for the pot. And then here is where I get really bad. I don't know if you're supposed to put the milk in first or the milk afterwards. Somebody
well,
else
isn't
has to
that,
that
personal
one.
Preference,
I think
though,
that's
really?
Personal preference.
I think there's something in England where it's because we're
I think
posh like
to
that.
Put in
you're meant
after.
To put it in before or after.
Oh,
I don't
I think
know.
You're
I
meant
know.
To put in after because
I'm not posh
you
enough.
Need to judge the colour of the tea first.
Oh, yes, that's good.
Before you put the milk in.
Mm. Right. And when I put milk in my tea, it has to be a certain colour when it's finished or it doesn't taste right.
Right.
Exactly.
And so that happens from how long I brew it.
But I'll tell you now, Jackie O'Kane would be very proud to see that we actually have saucers for the teacups.
We
here.
Do. That's because of my great-grandmother. She would have had a heart attack.
Well, they're so pretty.
They are very pretty.
These are really pretty cups. Yeah. And I...
We're all drinking out of mugs, but there are cups here with sauces.
Well, they're China mugs.
I'd probably
China,
yeah.
They're China.
Mine
in fact, mine's a Queen's Silver Jubilee 1977 from... Ooh.
That was from my Grandma Black, who lived in Canada. And
it's Canadian Superior, so yes.
Yes, it is. It's a nice cup. So, brewing. Amy.
In Australia, tea is, yes, you have high tea if you go on a tourist thing somewhere. They might be like, oh, Devonshire tea and scones. And,
sure.
But for the most part, tea is just a very casual type of drink where, I would go to my nana's house and it didn't matter how many years I hadn't seen her for. I'd go, you'd hug her. Oh, it's so lovely to see you, darling. And then, oh, well, let's go in and
let's
we'll have
a cup of tea.
Yeah. And it's very much it's just a moment. It's almost like a reflection where when you have a cup of tea, you don't walk around carrying it around the house.
Right.
Like you sit at the table or you sit on the couch and you drink it.
You actually
and you look at each other.
Relax.
And you
talk. Eye contact and
well,
things like that.
Well, you're also
like that,
waiting
yeah.
for the tea to brew in the pot usually
well,
as well.
That,
so
yeah.
it has to slow everything down, right?
Yeah.
You can't kind of like just pour a drink quickly and have it and that's it and you're gone.
Yeah, no.
You have to sit down, relax and enjoy it.
Which is one of the reasons it works for so many different things. Like you're celebrating or you're sad or you're angry.
Or you need to wake up or you need to slow down.
Yeah, and you just have to take a little bit
like
of time.
It's like a moment of self reflection or something.
Yeah.
But in Australia, we also have something very fun and I haven't told you about this. I've been holding out.
Oh, good.
It's called Billy tea.
Oh, it's my favorite tea.
And you have a Billy as a tin bucket, like a pail. Mm-hmm. It looks like a large coffee can, actually. It probably is a large coffee can. And you boil the water and then you throw the tea leaves in. And you have to boil the water over an open fire because you're camping when you have Billy tea. And you throw the leaves in the water. And then after it's brewed for a little bit, you have to grab the handle of the billy, which is always incredibly hot and will burn you. And you have to swing it around in a giant circle around with your arm.
Are you making
this
up?
No, I'm not making it up. And that makes the tea leaves drop to the bottom. And then you can tip the tea out of the
force,
billy.
Yes, yeah. That's
amazing.
And that's on job sites, they often, I don't know about now. Because I haven't lived in Australia for a long time, but even when I was a little girl, they'd have Billy tea at the job site if there was no electricity, that someone would have a stove and they'd cook up some Billy tea.
Fire. I think the most memorable cup of tea I've ever had was in Australia, and it was in an outing out in the outback on Kangaroo Island, and it was Billy tea.
I need to go to Australia again.
Oh, it was so much fun. And we were out with kangaroos and seals and in the Flanders Forest. And it was really something. And the guide was just he and I. And he took out a tablecloth and some tea. And he did this Billy tea thing. And it was fabulous. I really enjoyed it.
Fabulous. Yeah. I'm going.
Yeah, you better.
I'm getting either. I might have to go too.
Yeah, let's go.
Well,
let's go
ladies,
have a cup of tea
we're
off time
again. And now we're just going to have to eat and have more tea. So
what a shame.
Thank you for coming. It was really informative and fun.
Thanks for inviting us for tea.
Yes. Thank you for bringing the goodies. It was very good.
And just shout out to Vashon. You can do a pop in on me and Kate.
Oh, yeah. We're
That's
very
great.
Happy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And you can pop in here, too. Thank you, dear listeners. And I hope to see you again next week. Thank you, Kate and Amy.
Thanks, bye-bye. Linda. Thanks, Linda.